Ambulance Girls, written by Deborah Burrows, read by Penelope Freeman. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. Tuesday, 15th of October 1940. London. Blood, warm and sticky, was trickling down my forehead. Something sharp must have nicked me as they pushed me through the narrow gap. Never mind, I was inside. "Hello?" I called out. "Anyone there?" The words disappeared into the darkness as my torchlight flicked over the mess of plaster, wood and debris. In the fog of soot and dust and ash, my breathing was shallow and unsatisfying, which added to the sense of impending doom that had gripped me the moment they shoved me inside. The trickle of blood on my forehead had become exquisitely itchy. When I lifted my gloved hand to wipe it away, the leather was harsh against my skin and felt gritty. Now my face was bloody and dirty. I probably looked like any child's nightmare. Whatever was I, Lily Brennan, schoolteacher from Western Australia, doing here, crawling into the ruins of a bombed house, playing the hero, when the children were most likely already dead? But what could I do? Really, there was no choice. I'd arrived with my ambulance partner, David Levy, to find a familiar scene of devastation, bleached to aqua tint by the moonlight. Piles of rubble stood in the middle of what had been a row of Victorian dwellings. They towered in gaunt ruin against the sky, between shapeless wrecks of masonry that showed the signs of a direct hit. Men's voices, brisk and businesslike, emerged from the gloom, between whistles and the occasional shout. Short flashes of torchlight appeared and vanished in the darkness as rescue workers sought doggedly for signs of life in the ruins. When I emerged from the ambulance, the warden had looked me up and down as if I were a prize cow at the Royal Show. As he did so, the letters on his tin helmet had stood out brightly in the moonlight. ARP. They stood for air raid precautions, and I had felt inappropriate laughter bubble up in my chest when I got a good look at him. How could this small man protect anyone from the destruction London had suffered in the past 5 weeks of air raids? And yet there was a quiet authority in his slow nod to me, and in the way he had then turned to throw a cryptic comment to the men standing behind him.
"She'll do. She's thin enough."
Levy, who'd come to stand beside me, laughed at that, saying, "I think she might prefer to be described as slim." There'd been no answering smile from the warden. Instead, he gestured at the ruins of what had been a house.
"We've got two infants buried under the rubble there," he said.
His clipped, precise voice did not at all obscure the horror of those words.
"At least one's alive, or was alive until half an hour ago, because we've heard a baby crying. We understand they were left sheltering under a solid kitchen table before the bomb hit. Problem is, the place is just holding together. If we disturb the site too much, it'll bring the rest down on top of them. It looks like someone slim as you, miss, could squeeze through. You'd need to crawl through to the kitchen at the back, find the kids and bring them out. Think you can do that?"
Levy knew I had a horror of tightly enclosed spaces.
"I'll go," he had said. "I'm good at squeezing through ruins. I've done it before." "There isn't room. You'd never get in."
The warden sized me up with another quick glance and challenged me with his eyes. I'd always been small for my age. Even now, at 25, I could still be mistaken for a schoolgirl. I always suspected that was because I'd been born too early and never really caught up. I was so small when I was born that I really should have died, like the three tiny babies who'd slipped away in my mother's arms in the years before I arrived in the world. And that was why my mother took one look at my little wrinkled body and turned her face from me, unwilling to engage in another losing battle for a child's life. That I survived was due to my father. He was a fighter, and he fought for me. A woman who'd helped at my birth told him the best chance to keep me alive was to carry me next to his skin, where his strong heartbeat would teach my heart to keep beating when it forgot. So Dad fashioned a pouch for his tiny Joey, and for 2 months, until I could suckle and had grown into my skin, he carried me everywhere, pressed against his heart, just as the woman had said. I was no bigger than his hand, and he fed me my mother's milk from an eyedropper like a little
Sample complete. Ready to continue?